Seniors, congratulations. You made it. I will never forget 4 years ago sitting in the Jester's house upstairs in their game room with you guys when you were freshmen for the entire year, walking through God's word with you guys and just thinking back to those nights, those times together, a lot of the stories that I would go home and tell my wife about you guys, some of the things that were said. Each time it was just an absolute blast, and I can't believe that today is the day that we're honoring you guys as the graduating class here at Champion 4. So congratulations to you guys and parents. Congratulations to you guys as well. They made it, right? They made it to the end of their high school career. And it's just an exciting time, exciting day for us to think about. Christian, you weren't sure that you were going to make it, but you're here, man. I'm excited for you, right? You just have that look, right? So this is an exciting day as we think about, as we celebrate all that God has done in your lives, the different milestones, the things that he's brought you through, and not just the things that you've come through and the things that you've done, but we get to celebrate in anticipation of all that God has in store for you as you move forward from this day. So milestones like this oftentimes make all of us think about our kids, make us all think about our kids and what God has brought them through and what God has in store for each and every one of them. Now, I personally don't have a student that's sitting out here with you guys today. I don't have a student that's old enough to graduate yet, but still, I'm thinking about the milestones in the lives of my students, of my children, and I know that everyone out here, whether they have a senior today or not, is thinking about their kids and the lives of their kids. My kids are much younger, right? You guys are going to graduation parties this weekend. You're getting dressed up. You're going to restaurants. You're going to people's houses, and you're having a lot of fun. On the flip side, I'm taking my kids to little kid birthday parties at the bounce house places, right? That's just the phase of life that I find myself in right now. And if you haven't been to one of those recently, and why would you? You guys are way past that. Let me just sort of bring you in and remind you what those things are like. The first is they're dark. They don't smell great. They smell like little kid sweat. And the floors are really, really sticky. Your feet stick as you sort of walk around in these different bounce house places, and not a ton of adults love them. But honestly, every time I get the chance to take my kids, I'm all over it. And I love it because I'm still the adult, the 34-year-old adult that gets in the bounce houses and jumps with my kids. I love to do the slides. I love to climb. I love to run around. I love to be in there with my kids. And a lot of you guys are right there with me. You just won't admit it out loud. And I remember 2 years ago, when my oldest son right now is 6, when he was 4 years old, we were going to do what we normally do. We were climbing into the bounce house together. He was going first, and I was piling in after him, and he stopped, and he turned around, and he looked me in the eye, and as serious as he could be, said, "Dad, seriously?" And I was like, "Yeah? What? And he goes, "What are you doing?" It's like, "Well, I'm doing what we always do. We're getting into play, man. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you get to the top. We're going to climb, and we're going to do all this stuff." And he looked me in the eye, and he said, "Dad, I don't need you in here anymore." I know. He was 4. He said, "Dad, I don't need you in here anymore." And it hurt, right? I mean, honestly, it sounds silly, and you're going to make fun of me later for it, but it hurt, right? For two reasons. One, I love to bounce, and now I'm going to be the weird old guy bouncing by myself without a kid. But then it hurt to hear him say that he didn't need me anymore. And I had to sort of wrestle with that. And I know there's parents in here and students in here that are sort of wrestling with that tension and what that feels like and what that looks like and what the relationships look like moving forward from here. But as I wrestled with it, as I think about it, as I think about my kids and the older they get, honestly, that's the goal, right? That's the goal, that I get him to a place where he doesn't need me to come into the bounce house with him anymore. I've taught him how to do it. I've equipped him. I've showed him. I've trained him. And now I can launch him in with confidence, knowing that he's going to be able to do it. He's going to be able to make it happen. Right? And no matter what he thinks, he still needs me. Somebody has to pay for him to get in, right? He still needs me, right? But the relationship is different now, okay? It's different. As his dad, right, I'm always going to be there for him. I'm always going to support him. I'm always going to encourage him. I'm always going to invest in him. And I know all the other parents in the room, no matter how old your kids are, if they're babies, if they're graduates, if they have kids of their own, the way that God's wired us and designed us, we're always going to be there for them to support them and encourage them as we raise up the generations that come behind us. At least I hope that's the case, because that's the model that we see pictured here in God's Word. Last Sunday, Pastor Fleming walked us through Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he showed us that God's word calls us to invest in the next generation by teaching them the knowledge of God, a love for God, and obedience to God, especially as our kids grow up in our homes and then as we launch them out. So my hope and my prayer is that as a church, we would continue to do all that we can to launch generation after generation whose hope is in God, all for the glory of God. Listen, the timing of our text today, I think, is great for our graduates and for our families. But my prayer is that we would all see this as a church, as our call from Scripture, that each one of us is responsible for investing in the generations that are coming behind us, right? No matter how old we are, 75-year-olds investing in our 55-year-olds, in our 55s, in our 35s, in our 35-year-olds investing in our 20-year-olds, seniors, you guys pouring back into our middle school students as you've done over the years. You see how it works? The generations constantly investing in the generations that are coming after them. And here's the incredible thing. It doesn't have to be the generation right below you. God's call on our life to invest in those coming behind us. There's no age limits in that, right? We can work our way down. And in fact, in student ministry, we have people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and I won't go any higher, investing in our students each and every Sunday morning. If you'd like to be one of those, come find me after the service. We could always use more. Pastor Fleming, I feel like I had to do that while I was in here, right? So here's the deal. Right? God's call on our lives is to invest in those coming behind us. We see it all throughout Scripture as we prepare to launch generation after generation committed to the glory of God. If you've got your Bibles, open up with me to Psalm 78. We're going to look at the first couple verses of Psalm 78 this morning. And as you turn there, let me just say that this psalm, it's a historical psalm. Right? And the purpose of this is to pass on the works of God to the coming generation so that the coming generations would take the Word of God and the works of God and the faithfulness of God to heart so that they would be a generation that rises up whose hope is in God. Not whose hope is in anything else, but whose hope ultimately is in God. Psalms 78, let's read the first few verses together. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parable. I will utter the dark sayings of old, the things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but we will tell them to the coming generation that the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Listen, as we read through Psalm 78, it leaves no doubt, right? For any of us in the room, what we're called to do with the generations coming behind us, we're called to pass on the Word of God, right? The Word of God and the faithfulness of God to the generations that are following after us. I want to make three notes on this psalm as we continue to look at it this morning. And the first is this. If you'll go back and look at verse 4, it encourages here to pass it on to all of the children, right? It says their children, not just your own children. So if you're in here this morning and you're thinking, listen, my children are grown, right? My children are older, they've graduated, they're out of college, they're out of the house, I have flown that mission. Or if you're thinking, you know what, I don't have kids yet, right? That's not me yet because there's nobody in my house that calls me mom or dad. I just want to say welcome to the team, right? This is something that's for all of us to invest in the next generation, right? It's the church. It is the people of God committed to investing in the generations that are coming next. The second thing I want to point out is this. It's very specific. It's what are we teaching, right? What is it that we're teaching the generations that are coming after us? In those first seven verses, there's a lot, right? But you can boil it down to two things. We're to teach the generations that are coming after us the Word of God and the faithfulness of God. Look back again at verse 4, the glorious deeds of God. That psalm lists them out, right? It talks about how God has been faithful to his people in the good times and in the bad times, the faithfulness of God to his people continues. So as we pass it on, as we teach the generations that are coming behind us, we've got to remember that this isn't just an academic exercise, right? We're not trying to gain knowledge for the sake of gaining knowledge. We're trying to gain knowledge so we can continue to see the faithfulness of God. And then the third thing I need to point out is this, is this investment that all of us are making, right? Every single person that is a part of the church, the family of God, the people of God, the investment that each and every one of us is making has a point. It has a point. Look back at Psalm 78. Go down to verse 7. As we invest, as we pour into, as we teach our students, as we teach the generations coming behind us, we do it with the hope and the prayer that we would rise up a generation whose hope is set on God. Look back at verse 7. It's right there. That their hope is set on God. We do this in the student ministry because repetition helps us to remember things. Say it with me. Whose hope is on God. One more, we're better than that. Whose hope is on God. Whose hope is on God. Listen, we know, church, we know that there's no other place that our hope can or should land. Our hope has got to be on God. God desires that relationship with us. God sent his son for us. We know that peace, that love, that joy, that hope, that eternal life is found only in God, where our hope should land. So listen, I want to see. I'm incredibly passionate about seeing, and I know that you guys want to see as well, the generations that come after us rising up with their hope, not on anything else, but on God. And listen, for that to be the case, you and I, and seniors, you're part of this, you and I have got to pass it on. We've got to be willing to make the investment. We've got to be willing to pour ourselves out for those that are coming behind us. And as we do, we've got to be praying the whole time that the generations that come after us come with a hope that is set on God, with a hope that's in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, we don't want to see a generation rise up whose hope is in the college that they get to go to, whose hope is in the job that they have, whose hope is in the career that they might make, whose hope becomes in money or possessions or the house that they can one day afford to buy. Listen, the world places its hope in those things. We want to see as a church, as the people of God, the generations behind us rising up with a hope that is in God. And so this morning, listen, I just want to do what Psalm 78 says, right? I want to take the truth of God's word and the testimony of the faithfulness of God, and I just want to share four truths with us this morning in response to what Psalm 78 says. And listen, this is going to be familiar to you guys, right? We've said a lot of these, and we said a lot of these throughout the course of your senior year, but we don't just do it at your senior year. We start it back in sixth grade, and we're constantly saying these things. But my prayer this morning is that no matter what generation we're a part of, if we're graduating this weekend or if we graduated many, many, many weekends ago, the hope is that we'd take these truths to heart, that we'd allow God to penetrate our heart with this truth, that we personally, each and every one of us, would be a person whose hope is on God, so that as we invest in others, we see them also become people whose hope is on God. The first truth that I want to take to heart, the first truth that I want to make sure we're passing on to you guys this morning is this. Guys, don't be conformed, but be transformed. Right? Don't be conformed, but be transformed. We studied that this semester, right? You guys know exactly where that's found. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may by testing discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It's a reminder for us. Jesus is the target, right? Jesus is the target, not the people around us. We're not trying to be like anyone else. We're trying to be like Jesus. Romans chapter 8, we're supposed to conform. We're supposed to be like Jesus. So that means our desires, our passions, the things that we want, the things that we're going to do should be because of our relationship with God. Don't conform to what's normal around you. Be intentional to have your heart, to have your mind, to have your lives transformed to the image of Jesus. And I'm going to go ahead and admit and say, listen, I understand and I know that it's not easy, right? Being countercultural is not easy, but it is so worth it. So my encouragement to you guys and to us as a church is let's commit to being like Jesus wherever it is that life takes us from here. When you're making decisions and deciding on your jobs, your majors, your schooling, your friends, your future, your spouses, all of those things, don't let the deciding factor be success in the world's eyes. Right? Don't let your deciding factor for your decision-making be success in the world's eyes. Rather, let your deciding factor be your relationship with Jesus Christ. When we make decisions about anything that we have the chance to make a decision about, let's make sure that it's founded in Jesus. The goal is transformation. And as we're transformed to the will of God, like this verse says, we're going to look and we're going to be different. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how much experience we have. Following Christ, that transformation is going to make us different. Students, you guys know what your generation is like, right? You grow up in it. You go to school with it every day. You can look around and see the people around you and know that to follow Christ is to be different than the majority of the people around you. But church, I want to invite you in to the generation that our students are growing up in now. They've been termed, and I shared it with somebody this morning, they've been termed Generation Z. It's people born from 1999 to 2015. And it is a very large generation of young people here in the United States. 69 million of them make up this generation. That's you guys. There are 69 million of your peers out here right now, and only 4% of the young people in that generation have a biblical worldview. 4%. Guys, transformation is going to mean you're different. Transformation is going to mean that you look different than the people around you. Half the people in your generation outright say that happiness in life is their ultimate goal. And to achieve that happiness, you've got to have financial success. Right? It's tied to money. It's tied to things. It's tied to possessions. Your generation, guys, drives its identity from so many things other than faith, so many things other than a relationship with Christ. Listen, as the church, right? As the church, we know that our identity is in Jesus Christ. We know that our identity, as Brent said just a second, is as the chosen children of God. We know that drives our decision-making. It drives our purpose. It drives who we are. But this generation that's coming up, right, drives its identity from something completely different. The number one thing from their purpose and their sense of self and their sense of worth is their educational and their career accomplishments. Behind that, it's their extracurriculars, their football, their dance, their cheer, their band, the things ultimately that they're good at, the gifts that God's given them that they use to drive their identity. After that, it's their gender and their sexuality is a huge part of what they feel determines their identity. Then their friends. Number five is family. Parents, brothers, and sisters, number five on this list for this generation is family. And number six is their faith. So when we're investing in the generation that comes behind us, parents, church, let's encourage them, let's advise them, and let's push them to Jesus. Right? Let's not push them to pursue the things that their peers are pursuing. Let's not push them to be like the people that make up their generation. Let's push them to Jesus. Let's shepherd them to Jesus. As we give them advice, as we give them encouragement, as we're helping the generations behind us to walk through decisions regarding schooling, decisions regarding careers, decisions regarding things that are going to shape their life, let's make sure that we are pushing them to Jesus, because ultimately, transformation is the goal. Several years ago, I read a quote from David Platt that has stuck with me, and I think about it often, and it shapes the way that I talk to students. It shapes the way that I think about the generations that are coming behind us. David Platt says this. He says, our goal in parenting, and I'm going to pause there and take out parenting and just say, our goal is we invest in the generations behind us. Because not everybody is directly parenting the generations behind us, but all of us are called to invest in the generations behind us. David Platt says this. Our goal as we invest in the generations behind us is not ultimately for kids to get a great education or for them to be great athletes or for them to find a great spouse or even to get a great career. Our goal for the generations behind us is that they would love a great God. That's the goal. Guys, transformation is the goal, that you would love God. That you would love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the goal. So church, for all of us, And as we lock into God's word, let's ensure that God speaks to us, that he transforms us. And as he transforms us, let's allow him to work through us to the generations around us so they also would be transformed by the word of God. And that's the second thing that I want to point us to, guys, is if we're going to be a people whose hope is in God, we must consume God's word. We've got to be about Scripture. We've got to be about the word of God. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, a lot of you guys know this verse. It says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. It comes from God. We didn't make it up. It comes from God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Listen, I can't overemphasize to anyone in here the importance of God's word in our lives. I feel like every time we gather together, whether it's a life group class, adult, children, student, no matter what service we're in, as we teach the word of God, one of the major application points is that we would pick it up and read it for ourselves, that we would be in God's word constantly. I feel like every Bible study I'm a part of, we end it with saying, man, we've got to be in God's word. Every week in our student service, we say, guys, we've got to be in God's word. Every individual conversation, we talk about the importance of God's word in our life because it matters. Listen, we're committed to this. We've given devotions in book form. We send devotions home via email. We post devotions on social media, right? We email things home to your parents for scripture and you guys, things for you to walk through. We text individual verses of scripture to people because we know the importance that God's word plays in our life. If you go back to Psalm 78, verse 6, we see that we're supposed to pass on the word of God to our kids, and it even says to our grandkids who aren't yet born. We've got to know the word of God to have our hope in God. You want to hear from God? Read his word. Right? You need wisdom for the situation for the season of life that you find yourself in right now? Read his word. Are you anxious? Are you concerned about the future? What's coming next? The things that are on the horizon that you're just not really sure how are going to work out? Read his word. Listen, I can't imagine a situation that I'm going to face in my life that's not addressed right here. And I can't imagine a situation that any of us are going to face, whether we're going off to college, whether we're preparing for retirement, whether we're getting ready to send our kids off to college and it's our last kid and it's the empty nesting, no matter what it is we're facing, I can't imagine something that we could face that's not right here in God's word. Along with several other pastors at Champion Forest, I read a book a couple of years ago, and the title of the book is Move, and it surveyed thousands of churches or in tens of thousands of believers across the United States. And the whole point of the book was to track and to see the most impactful things for any person, any age, when it comes to spiritual growth. And you know what they found? I don't think you're going to be surprised. One of the main findings of their book, they write here right at the end, says this: nothing has a greater impact on spiritual growth than reflection on Scripture. Right? Because it's the very word of God. So listen, let's be a people that are committed to reading God's word. Let's be a people that are committed to knowing God's word so that we can pass on the faithfulness of the word of God to the generations that are coming behind us. Listen, it is so much more important than so many of the things that consume our lives. Students, I'm telling you right now that this is much more profitable to us than Netflix, right? I promise you, it is much more profitable. How many times can you watch through The Office on Netflix anyway, right? I mean, seriously, right? The Word of God is so much more profitable for us than anything that we could fill our time with, right? Students, that might have stepped on your toes a little bit. Parents, this one might step on all of our toes. Listen, I'm telling you right now that time in God's Word, a knowledge of God's Word, a heart for God's Word is more important. It's more important than asking our kids how they've done with their homework, okay? You guys still have to do it, and you have to do it with excellence. But parents, seriously, think about it. Think about it. This is so much more important than making sure they've done their pre-cal homework. When I think about my kids and I think about the life and the flow and the rhythm of my kids. When my son walks into the door from school, I ask him how his day was at school. I ask him about what he learned at school. I ask him about his homework. I ask him about the things that he has to get done to be an excellent student as he goes back to school the next day. But one of the things that God has continued to convict me on is how often do I ask him about what he's learning in God's Word? And shame on me. Shame on me if I am more concerned with my son's homework than I am with his knowledge of God's Word. As son, my son that lives in my house, my family, we should be passionate about the Word of God. My top priority should be making sure that my sons know the Word of God, that they take the Word of God to heart, that they trust, they believe the Word of God, and that they know it so well they can share it with the people around them and the generations that are coming behind them. That the Word of God, so that we can be complete, equipped for every good work. Listen, we've got to know the Word of God. It's in the Word of God that we learn about the love of God. It's in the Word of God that we read about Jesus. It's in the Word of God that we see John 3:16, that God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son down to the world so that whoever would believe in him won't perish but have everlasting life. Life. It's in the Word of God that we learn about life. It's in the Word of God that all of us can see, know, and experience the concept of eternal life that flows from how much God loves us. Pastor David said a second ago, if he could go back and tell himself a few things when he was a graduating senior, that he knows there's some things that he would say. John Piper wrote an article a few weeks ago, if he could go back and say some things, and just like Pastor David said, let me read you one of the main things that he said. He said, if I could go back to the stage of life that you guys are in right now, I would resolve to read my Bible every day of my life. He goes on to say, if you have time for breakfast, never say you don't have time for God's Word. Don't get your Bible reading pleasure from the fact that your conscience is clear when you've checked the Bible box, but instead, get your pleasure from the living, supernatural encounter with the God-revealed reality that's found only in Scripture. We've got to read the Word of God. We've got to know the Word of God. We've got to understand the Word of God so that we can share the Word of God with the generations that are coming behind us. And as we read the Word of God, we're going to find our third point that I want to share with you guys this morning, and that's this. Guys, we must pursue godly relationships. Proverbs 13:20 says this, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, right? But the companion of fools suffers harm. And I think that we can all see that as true in life. I mean, think about the times in your life where you've done your least intelligent, or as this verse says, maybe your most foolish things, and now think about who you were with. Would you call that person wise? I wouldn't, right? I wouldn't. The times where I've done my most foolish things, I've been around not wise people, not people that are full of godly wisdom. Guys, we need to walk with people that are full of godly wisdom. Think about who's full of godly wisdom. People that consume the Word of God, who reads the Word of God, people that are committed to being transformed into the image of God, right? That's it. That's it. Andy Stanley once said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. That's for all of us. Doesn't matter if we're a high school senior today, if we're a fifth grader, and here today, if we're 55 today. We become like the people we're around. Those that walk with the wise become wise. Those that are around godly people become godly. Listen, for all of us, our friends, our relationships, the people that are close to us should push us closer to Christ. They should encourage us along the way. Let me just tell you guys, don't settle when it comes to your friends, right? Don't settle when it comes to the people that you allow to be close to you and have an influence over you. And as long as we're talking about relationships, I'll take it a step farther and say this, guys. Those that you date should help your relationship with Christ grow. People that you date, people that you're thinking about marrying, should push you closer in your love relationship with Christ. Don't settle. Do not settle. All right, be surrounded by godly people. And that brings us to the final truth that I want to share with you guys as graduates, as you're going off, but to all of us as a church. Guys, we need to belong to a local church. You notice I didn't say attend a local church. I said belong to a local church. Be a part of a community of faith, a godly group of of believers. Listen, as we grow into a people, as we continue to be a people whose hope is in God, we must be a part of the local church. We've got to be a part of the church. The encouraging thing about your generation is 80% of the committed Christians in your generation know, affirm, and say that it's important to belong, to be a part of a local church. So if you're staying in town, get plugged in. If you're going off to school, make sure that the first thing you do is lock into a godly group of believers. If you're here with us the first time today, let me encourage you, plug in and belong to the local church right here at Champion Forest. And as you belong to the church, as the church encourages you, as it loves you, as it holds you accountable, as it teaches you the things of God's word, you're going to find out that just as much as you need the church, as I need the church, guys, the church needs us. And Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He reminds us that the church is one body with many parts, many members, and each person is vital and unique and needed for the mission to continue. God has gifted and positioned each and every one of us specifically and intentionally to do what only God can do in and through each one of us. So belong to a church. And as you do, God's going to use you to teach people in the church, to encourage people in the church, to meet the needs of people in the church, to love on those that are new to the faith, and to encourage the generation that's coming behind you. So all of us, no matter what phase of life we find ourselves in this morning, need to belong to a church. Listen, when you guys go off to school, don't hop around, but stick around. Okay, jump into a church, plug in, and make sure that you're fully committed from the very beginning. And that goes for all of us. And let's plug in, let's commit, and let's belong to the church. As we belong to a church, there's going to be people around us that can invest in us, pour into us, teach us, train us, and equip us so that we can continue to grow into a people whose hope, just like Psalm 78 says, whose hope is on God. So I told you about Landon growing up. And it sounds silly to even say because he's only 7, right? But we've already had all those moments where he said, "Dad, I'm good. I don't need you. Dad, I'm good. I can handle this. Dad, I'm good. I've got it. I've got it from here." And it's hard to hear that as a parent. Seniors, this is a tough season for your parents. Love on your parents. Encourage your parents and try to understand a little bit about what they're going through, because it's hard to launch you guys, but I know that your parents are committed to it, to launching you again and again and again. I'm committed to launching my kids again and again and again, because we get it, right? We know that God's called us to invest in you, to launch you, that God's called us to invest in you in such a way that you can turn around and invest in those that are coming after you. 16 years ago, 2002, I'm that old. A few of you guys this week said, that's sort of weird that you're that old, but thank you for that. 16 years ago, I mean, I sat there, right? I sat in the seats that you're sitting in. And thank God I had parents. I had a mom and dad who were committed to investing into teaching me the Word of God. And they were committed to teaching me the faithfulness of God. And I'm so thankful for that. And here's the incredible thing. I didn't just have a mom and dad in the home that did that. I had parents all over this church that invested in me and that poured into me and that taught me the things of God. Some had kids that were already grown. Some didn't have kids at the time that they were pouring into me. But they raised me, they taught me, and trained me to, as best as I could, be someone whose hope is in God. And the fun thing now is that several years later, I get to be here, right? And I get to be a part of your church family, right? That launches you guys out into your future and everything that God has in store for you and for your lives. And I just want to say thank you to your parents and to the rest of the people in this church who have so faithfully and so sacrificially and so generously invested in this generation. Lives were changed because of your investment in these seniors. And seniors, and it's your turn. Man, it's your turn. We're passing the baton to you, right? And our prayer and hope is that you would be a generation whose hope is on God, that you would continue to be a people that lives for Jesus. So as you grow, as God positions you wherever it is He positions you, you would become a generation investing in the ones behind you so that they too would be a generation whose hope is in God. Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you.
If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.